This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
In World Ag News for your Wednesday morning, the Mexican government says it will not allow a 1,000-ton shipment of pesticide glyphosate into the country, citing health and environmental concerns. Mexico became the latest in a string of countries to announce bans on glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. Mexico's Environmental Department said Monday that it denied a permit to import glyphosate, presumably for agricultural use. The department said glyphosate represents a high environmental risk, given the credible presumption that it can cause a serious environmental damage and irreversible health damage. There has been a host of successful U.S. lawsuits from people who claim glyphosate causes cancer. Previously, Thailand and Germany have announced bans or phase-outs of glyphosate. And moving on to the country of Germany, thousands of farmers have descended upon Berlin from the countryside Tuesday, blocking traffic in the capital with their tractors in protest over the German government's agricultural policies. Before dawn, some 1,800 tractors from the surrounding state of Brandenburg started their way into the city, and others were to follow from further afield, with 5,000 in total expected, along with 10,000 farmers. The farmers claim new environmental laws being planned are overly restrictive and that the government is making it impossible for domestic agriculture in Germany to compete against imports, among other things. 7.5 billion people, 200 million can feed themselves as hunter-gatherers, read one banner, while the other simply stated no farm, no food. The tractors were gathered at the landmark Brandenburg Gate in the heart of the capital, blocking wide areas of the city with slow-moving convoys on their way in a plan to cause more disruptions on their way out at rush hour. Brandenburg police reported two accidents caused by cars trying to pass the lines of tractors on their way into the city. Chancellor Angela Merkel's cabinet in September decided on a series of proposals, including tighter restrictions on the use of pesticides and herbicides to protect insects and on fertilizers to protect groundwater. The country's environmental minister, Svenja Schulz, says the government is willing to talk to farmers, but insisted that they, too, need to play their part in protecting the environment. Farmers need to be part of the solution, she told reporters in Berlin, citing the excessive levels of fertilizer in drinking water and the dramatic decline in insect numbers as issues that farmers should be concerned about. Farmer leaders say the government should work with them and conservative groups to find ways to protect the environment while preserving the competitiveness of farms in Germany. Moving on into ag news around the United States, this growing season has been unique for a lot of reasons across much of the upper Midwest, making it a challenge for the people who put out the crop reports to try and grab an accurate snapshot in time of what's taking place.
From a NAS perspective, not as unique as what some people might think. You know, probably the biggest adjustments we've had to make this year have had to do with timing, scheduling, maybe some resurvey work and things of that nature. But, you know, really our procedures are set up to handle things like this.
That was Lance Honig, the Crops Bureau Chief for USDA NAS, the Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service. He says as for what's next, they're going to be sending out surveys to over 80,000 producers the first week of December, asking for information such as yield and harvested acreage.
Certainly some folks out there that are not finished with harvest yet, and we don't know if they will be in a couple of weeks when we get back out there. So much like we did in the spring, after we collect that data, we'll have to sit down and take a look and find out how much of that information was final, how much of it was still standing out in the field and expected to be harvested, and we'll evaluate whether or not we need to do anything different.
He says he believes a lot of the criticism their reports have been receiving is due to misunderstanding what the numbers mean, so they're trying to communicate in more direct and explanatory ways. Moving along now into news from around the state, an Illinois Extension Ag economist recently wrote that due to lower corn and soybean yields, 2019 net farm income on Illinois grain farms are projected to decline more than $80,000 from last year. Todd Gleason has the report from the University of Illinois.
The article, written by Gary Schnitke, starts by putting farm income in some historical perspective. He says since U.S. farm safety net policy was changed in the mid-1990s to allow producers to plant what they want by reacting to market signals, there have been three distinct income eras.
From 1996 to 2005, average income on Illinois farms averaged $55,000. From 2006 to 2013, when we had higher commodity prices because of ethanol growing demand and shortfall someplace else, we had $189,000 of income, much higher. And now, since 2014, we've averaged $79,000 of income.
With a lot of variability around that midpoint. This year's income, for instance, is within that range, but Schnitke adds way off of last year's net income for an Illinois grain farm.
So just to put some perspective on it, last year we had $147,000 of income, which was reasonably good for the period since 2013. MFP payments helped a lot. Obviously, MFP payments helped a lot. This year, we're probably looking at something below $50,000 on average for income per farm in 2019.
And lower yields are the primary cause of the lower income. Again, MFP payments help a lot.
Lower yields are the primary factor, and we would be in much worse shape without MFP payments this year. We would be negative income.
Again, Schnitke says if it were not for the Trump administration's MFP or market facilitation program payments, which have been made to farmers around the nation for lost access to the Chinese market, Illinois grain farms would have a negative income for the 2019 growing season. I'm Todd Gleason.
And with today being Thanksgiving Eve, here's a list of turkey facts you might find of interest. Ben Franklin, in a letter signed to his daughter, proposed the turkey as the official United States bird. 88% of Americans surveyed by the National Turkey Federation eat turkey on Thanksgiving. 46 million turkeys are eaten each Thanksgiving, 22 million on Christmas, and 19 million turkeys are eaten on Easter. The average weight of a turkey purchased at Thanksgiving is 15 pounds, and the heaviest turkey ever raised domestically was 86 pounds. That's about the size of a large dog. The turkey was domesticated in Mexico and brought to Europe in the 16th century. Turkeys are believed to have been brought to Britain in 1526 by Yorkshire man William Strickland. He acquired 6 turkeys from American Indian traders and sold them in Bristol, England. King Henry VIII was the first English king to enjoy turkey, and King Edward VI made turkey eating fashionable at Christmas. In 1920, U.S. turkey growers produced one turkey for every 29 people in the United States. Today, growers produce nearly one turkey for every person in the country. And while tom turkeys gobble, hens do not. They make a clucking noise. And wild turkeys can fly for short distances up to 55 miles per hour and can run up to 20 miles per hour. Moving on to local news from around the area, the Montgomery County Extension Office of the University of Illinois will be holding a Christmas wreath workshop on December 3rd. That workshop will be held from 6 to 8 in the evening, and if you need more information about the wreath workshop, you can call 532-3941. And another local news, the Hillsboro FFA will be sponsoring a toy collection drive for Toys for Tots again this year. New unwrapped toys can be placed in collection boxes found in the Hillsboro High School Ag Building and in the main building hallway. Toys will be donated to children in the local area, and donations are due to the high school by Friday, December 13th. And finally, today is your last day to RSVP for the bus trip that the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be taking to Old Town St. Charles. The bus trip will then be held next Wednesday, December 4th. To RSVP today, you can call the County Farm Bureau in Hillsboro at 532-6171. And that wraps it up for this Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, email it to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, November 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.